testify, then we're gonna leave it right here. Tell me what you know about Jesus. Tell me what you know about Jesus.
as we dismiss the children. If you didn't get to us this week, Lord willing, you can practice and get to us next week. Amen. When you come to church, church is supposed to be a place of freedom. It's supposed to be a place where you can express the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And don't come to church and be all bottled up and shut down. I want to mess with Shirley in the back. I know Shirley is saying, no. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for all day, for everyone being here. We thank God for this holiday season. And we truly thank God for the Lord's birth, his death, burial, and resurrection. God is good. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Bless and keep her in her health and strength. And I thank God for all of you. All of you need yourself a hand praise for being in the house of the Lord. Next week we'll have Brother Chris. Brother Chris, you gonna sing a song for us next week? Amen. Leave it all. Well, we just bless the Lord. You know, I believe that when you come to church, you're gonna have a good time.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we go to church and we come to church battered and beat up. And we leave church battered and beat up. Amen. But anybody today need a breakthrough? You should have got your breakthrough. Amen. Because the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. And in his right hands, their pleasures evermore. I'm just going to intrude on your patience for a few moments as we ask you to stand, and we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And we want to be mindful to pray for the Troy City official that was murdered, William Chamberlain. We want to keep him in prayer, his family. You know, I met with him, and we work with them on some of our events that we had. We had the service and some of the events down at St. John's. We worked on him, with him. So we know that was a terrible event. So let's be mindful to keep them in prayer. Amen? Amen. Somebody said, there go I, but by the grace of God. God is a keeper. God is a way maker. And I just love all of the testimonies. The Bible said we overcome by the what? Word. Like I know, so have a victory. We need to testify. Because we overcome by the words of our testimony. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. And we're going to read verses 1. And we will end in verse 9. Actually, we're going to go to verse 11 later. But for the sake of time today, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Amen. Do we have it? If you don't have it, it is on the screen. How many know God is a good God?
Yes.
How many have the testimony that God is better to me,
yes,
than I could ever be to myself? I know God is good. And I know God can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. And what we're going to deal with today, I'm going to give you, sometimes I give you the message at the subject of the message at the end. Sometimes we get it to you in the beginning. When we give it to you in the beginning, so you can get it down in your spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. So the question is, what do you do when your life is in turmoil? What do you do when your life is in turmoil? Amen. Verse 1 reads, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ears now Anybody want him to hear? Anybody want God to give you an ear? Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you first of all for this season. Oh God, in these troublous and terrible times, we thank you that you are our Savior. And Lord, we thank you that you're closer to us than anything ever can be. Now, Lord, as we worship and lift you up during these times of festivities, Lord, we ask you to make it up so mindful that we don't forget that you are the reason for the season. Now, Lord, we ask you this afternoon to speak a word. Lord, speak down in our souls. Lord, encourage someone this morning, this afternoon that's going through turmoil. Lord, we ask you to strengthen them by might, by your spirit, as in the end of man. And can the church say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. We just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. What do you do when you're in turmoil? Turmoil could be described as a disturbance. It could be confusion. Turmoil could be uncertainty. Turmoil could be every time I turn around, seems like something is coming against me. But what do you do when you're in turmoil? In this case, Nehemiah was in Babylon. He wasn't in Jerusalem. And he realized that the people of God were in turmoil. If we read again in verse 3, it says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province or in," they were in turmoil. They were in trouble. Great affliction and reproach. Reproach is when others look at you and look down on you. So they tell them, Nehemiah, who's now in Babylon and now in Jerusalem, he said, they're in great affliction and reproach. He said, not only are they in affliction and reproach, but the walls of Jerusalem are broken down and the gates thereof burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, he said, I sat down and wept. And I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So what do you do when you're in turmoil? Amen. Nehemiah had no one else to turn to. Nehemiah, amen, at that time couldn't go to anybody else but God. If we go just to show you how desperate Nehemiah was about this situation. Now, Nehemiah was in Babylon. He wasn't in the reproach. He wasn't in the affliction. He wasn't in the trouble, but he had a heart for God's people. Yes. Anybody got a heart for God's people? Yes. I might be all right with me, but I'm also concerned about you. Yes. Nehemiah, he had a heart for God's people. And when he heard this, it says, in the month Chislu, which would be the ninth month between November and December. Now, if we go to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to read in verse 1. Nehemiah, when he heard about the situation, he didn't complain to God. He didn't point a finger of accusation against God, but he prayed to the God of heaven. And if you read down in that same chapter a little further, he reminded God. Sometimes in our prayer, we just have to remind God. Amen. Lord, I'm nothing but flesh. But he said, Lord, remember you made Moses a promise that if we ever put to the worst, you said, Lord, if we ever get to the point where we're in distress, if we return unto you, God, you said you'll return unto me. Anybody feel like they're in distress? But if you drifted from God, it's time to return to God. We've seen that old song, don't you think? Nobody? I said, don't let nobody turn you around. So when he got the news, it was the ninth month. But he fasted and prayed until, we read read in verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, which would be the first month between March and April. So he didn't do anything for 4 whole months, but prayed and fasted to get the mind of God. Why? Because of he was in turmoil. The people of God was in turmoil. Now, he was a king's cupbearer, which means he was in the palace. And he could have just said, hey, it's all right with me. But he had a heart for God's people. If ever in America, if the church ever need to get outside of themselves and get a heart for God's people, it is today. It, you know, everybody's preaching, get your stuff and get all this. I wonder how much do we pray for one another? The Bible says that we ought to pray one for another. Hallelujah. But everything today is about what you can get for yourself for God. I wonder how many of us really have a heart like Nehemiah that said, I realize my brother, I realize my sister, I realize my people are going through something. So right now I'm not praying for me because I got it all right. But he fasted and prayed for 4 months for somebody else. I wonder how many in church can get outside of themselves and pray and fast that God bless somebody else. All we all consuming, woe is me. What do you do when you're in turmoil? Who do you turn to when you're in turmoil? Hallelujah. When everything seems like it's coming down around you, what do you do? Hallelujah. The Bible says that Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. He didn't do anything but pray first. That's the number one prescription when you're in a hard time. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. How many in church have given up and God didn't do anything because the Bible said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is not changed. But people are giving up on church and God, not because of God, but because of somebody else. I'm seeing how many need to get out of themselves and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I praise you. Even if they mess up and they fall short, Lord, I still love you. Lord, I still care. Lord, and not only do I love you, but I love the people of God that's in church. So instead of me talking about somebody, I'm going to pray for them. Instead of me getting on Facebook Live, I don't do Facebook. I don't know what y'all do. Twitters and all these other inners and errors and hours. How about getting down on your knees and talk to Jesus? Somebody said a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right.
top pairs for me. Hallelujah. But then he concluded, nevertheless, Lord, not my will. Can anybody say, not my will, but thy will be done? Hallelujah. Can we just say, Lord, I don't care what I have to go through. Lord, I don't care what I have to do. Just let your will be done in my life.
And you know, as I was preparing, I had to be a lot longer. The Lord said, you know what? The church needs to overcome the spirit of impromptuism. Impromptuism, you know what it means? When something happens, you don't make no preparations. Amen. You don't try to sit down and reason with God about what to do. Well, impromptuism, we just move on our own whims. We just move on a spirit. What are you doing? I'm going to do this. Did you talk to Jesus?
Right.
When a little talk with Jesus makes.
Yeah.
A little talk with Jesus makes.
Yeah.
So the spirit of impromptuism is when things don't go right with you. You say, what I'm going to do. But we don't acknowledge God. Ask God, what do you want me? What do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to walk? Lord, how do you want me to handle this situation? Well, the spirit of impromptuism says, I'm just going to do it. Then when you fix it your way, it gets worse. It gets worse. You say, well, I was trying, but you didn't talk to God. The Bible says he declared the end
from the beginning.
And the scripture said, no one unto God are all of his thoughts from the beginning. Yeah. This very moment, what we're going through, God already
knows.
Yeah. So the only one that can get you out of your turmoil is God. But I am talking to him. We run over here. You know, anybody got running in their feet? Y'all ever heard that? Running in my feet? We ain't running too long, we're running. Somebody said, well, why are you so messed up? Oh, you don't know what sister and brother so-and-so did to me, and this said, and the Lord sitting right there on the side. Can I sit on the side?
That's
God sitting right on the side. He's like, come unto me.
Oh,
all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I need you.
Yes.
God is sitting there all right. And you all messed up because you're running.
Hallelujah.
No wonder the scripture says, be still be still and take the running out your feet. Stop staying home. It's time for the Redeemer of the Lord to say so. Who the Lord has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. The Bible said not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a man and a son. But why did you run to church? Oh, because of what they did. God's living like, he's like, but I'm going to ask you, what did I do? You ever think about that? Sometimes we get mad, take everything out on God, and all God ever did was the best for us. And we take stuff out on God, and even get a nerve to get mad at God because of our impromptuism. Because we like to do everything on a spur of a moment. Anybody like that? You know, you decide to do something, just do it. Then you get to know that that thing is so messed up, you're like, what in the world was I thinking about? That happened to me. I know y'all better. This is what happened. Every once in a while, I do some stuff. I make my own judgments. Based on my mind. And I'll be all, I got it together. And then I find out, I was way over there, and God was way over there. I don't know. Y'all better than me. I'm just telling you, some of us ain't, we have to ride with y'all that. So it happens to me sometimes. I'm over here, and then when I realize God's way, what happened? I thought one thing, but the Bible says that man thinking is not so. We think one way, but God is directing us, but because we are so, can we say impulsive? Come on, say impulsive. Impulsive, it happened, I'm just going to react to this, right now, take care of this. And God is right there saying, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, he said, I will direct. How many of us, honestly today, in our turmoil, have made decisions, but we haven't acknowledged God in You know, somebody, there's some things, you know, I heard people say this, I can be much stronger. I heard people say, there's some things you can ask God for, and then there's some things you got to do. I ain't never read that before. Y'all read this scripture? There's some things you have to do, and then there's something God has to do. When I heard Jesus say that without me, you can do
nothing.
So I wonder how many of us today, in our turmoils, have purposed what we are going to do, but we forgot to acknowledge the Lord and ask God, what do you want me to do? The longer I live, the longer I realize that all of my ways are clean in my own eyes. But when I step aside from the situation, even in my turmoil, I have to step aside and have to talk to Jesus. And I have to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't go talking to people. You know, my wife, I know that stuff is going on. I just say, pray. You know what? All the talk in the world won't change. So there are times in our turmoil, we're in a place of confusion. We don't know what the next day holds. The Bible says that God holds everything in his hand. God is in control of everything. How many of y'all parents, all y'all parents, give me a wave, my friend. Give me a wave, all y'all parents, right? When your children are going through stuff, you'll watch them for a little while and then you ask. You tell them, you say, you know, I could have fixed it a long time ago if you would have only Seriously. I'm just telling you about, can I tell you about my childhood, what I went through? You say sometimes. I've been going through stuff for a long time. And my mother was always so wise. She would watch. And then when I finally got off my high horse, you know, sometimes we think we know it all. I think I know it all. You don't even know the answer. Sometimes I don't think I know it all. But when I take a little time to talk to God, I realize I'm off. I realize I made so many mistakes. Amen. So in my old age, in my middle 30s, and I am, I look like I'm older than 30. I know, I can always make y'all look that. But in my old age, I've learned, before I act, I need to talk to God. Before I move, I need to talk to, before I talk to anybody else, I need to talk to God. And then as I talk to God, even sometimes I don't fully understand all that God is saying, but I trust him. Right? I don't understand everything God is telling me. I would be a liar if I told you I understood it all, because I don't. But I trust him. And because I trust him, I say, Lord, I don't understand it. But I don't know why you already said, if I trust you, then all things work together for the good to them that love him. And to love him, you have to trust him. You can't trust anybody that you don't love. So when you love God, you trust him. So Lord, even though I don't understand, when I look at this with my natural eyes, this thing is mammoth. Y'all know what mammoth means? Huge. In my carnal mind, I can't figure it out. In my carnal mind, I don't know which way to go. In my carnal mind, Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix it. But I heard you ask Abraham, is there anything too hard for God? If you trust, as we all stand, if you trust God even in turmoil, don't make a whimsical decision that I'm going to do what I want to do. When you move on a whim, as the elders, so all the workers and the ministers come forward, if you move on a whim in your turmoil, the turmoil gets worse. But if you just be still and know that he's God, God can fix your situation.
Yes.
Make God a promise. This is between you and God. It's not between me and you. Make God a promise. Say, God, no matter what any human ever does to me,
I promise you I'll never take it out on you. Make God that promise. Yes, you make God that promise. Say, I don't care how many people fail, God, I never take it out on you. Amen. It's like growing up, there's times, you know, I'm in a situation. I know somebody is mad at somebody else. You know, I'm just going to give you a real life situation. They're mad at somebody else, but they don't want to hurt them, and they don't really care that much about you. Right? So because they're mad at them and they don't want to hurt them, they take it out on you. And you haven't done a thing. You just innocent bystander. God would never do that. God would never do that. That's why you have to trust Him. The Bible says that God will never have the parents, have the children pay for the sins of the parent, or the parents pay for the sins of the children, because God loves us. Don't ever allow anyone to do anything to you and you take it out of God. God is faithful. God loves us. God will never let you down. I know this afternoon some of us are hurting. But God never did anything to hurt us. God means that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. If you're hurting, if you're in turmoil, if you need direction, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the midst of your turmoil, God will give you peace. But God can't help you if you go away from Him. God only has this. You come to Him and has this verse later.